The second question is also somewhat difficult, I would say. That was a pretty difficult question, but it was interesting. This next question is more a question about more recent history. And the question is this: please discuss the division between the Christian church and the churches of Christ over instrumental music. So I'm going to discuss that briefly here. I want to preface these remarks by saying this, that instrumental music, such as pianos, and organs, and other sound-making devices that are not human beings, instrumental music was introduced into worship by Pope Vitalian in AD 660. Before that time, there had not been any instrumental music in the church in worship to God. And even after this, the instrument was not generally used. In fact, Thomas Aquinas, who was considered one of the greatest Catholic scholars to ever live, wrote in 1250 AD, "Our church does not use musical instruments as harps and psalteries to praise God withal, that she may not seem to Judaize." In other words, to go back to the old law and use instruments to worship God. The church did not use instruments because the church had broken away from the Jewish practices of the old law. So you see, he acknowledged the fact that the use of instrumental music was used in the Old Testament, but it was done by Jews for Jewish purposes under that fleshly law of Moses. And today, we don't use them in the church, is what Thomas Aquinas said. And so, as this became practice that they would sing without accompaniment, the word a cappella, which means as in the chapel or as in the church, came into being. And we know what a cappella means. It means to sing without accompaniment from any kind of mechanical instrumental music. And a cappella music is thus done this way. Well, time marched along, and as technology improved and manufacturing processes became greater and more efficient, more and more instruments were produced, and people started getting them for their homes and putting them in various places. And some people said, well, let's bring them into the churches. And that began happening. And the 1800s were a big time for that to happen. And I want us to understand that even in the various denominational bodies that were established in the 1600s, 1700s, and the 1800s, they did not use mechanical instrumental music. In fact, Charles Spurgeon, who was regarded as one of the greatest Baptist preachers who had ever lived, Charles Spurgeon, he lived from 1834 to 1892, he did not have instrumental music in his congregation. Of 10,000 people, they didn't use it. And in commenting upon Psalm 42 and verse 4, he said this, quote, "What a degradation to supplant the intelligent song of the whole congregation by the theatrical prettiness of a quartet, the refined niceties of a choir, or the blowing off of wind from inanimate bellows and pipes. We might as well pray by machinery as praise by it." End quote. So he was starkly opposed to it. A Baptist preacher. Of course, you wouldn't find one who is opposed to it today, most likely. But it was about that same time, from the period of 1850 to 1900, that members of the church were beginning to desire the use of instruments in worship. And those who wanted instruments formed and established what are today known as the Christian Church and the Disciples of Christ. Those who chose to remain without the instruments continued with the name Churches of Christ. And in 1904, the United States Census Office queried the editor of the Gospel Advocate, which was a popular periodical among Churches of Christ back in the early 1900s. And the editor's name was David Lipscomb. And maybe you've heard that name because we have a university that is named after him, Lipscomb University. But they queried, the Census Office of the United States queried David Lipscomb about the division. And he reported on the number of churches with and without the instrument. And this formalized the division. And from then onward, the Churches of Christ have not used it, whereas the Christian churches and the Disciples of Christ have used the instrument. So it was not until very recently, taking all things in consideration, that there's been 2,000 years since the time of the New Testament. Not until just a little bit over 100 years ago that the instrument began to be brought into the churches en masse. And this is at least some of the historical evidence that we find outside the Bible regarding the use and non-use of instrumental music. But we have to ask the question, what is the standard for worship? Is it what men did in history? No, that's not the standard of worship. Is it what people desire or what they want to do? No, that's not the standard of worship. Is the standard Charles Spurgeon or Thomas Aquinas? No, they are not the standard of worship. What is the standard of worship in the church? It must be the New Testament. It must be the revelation that God gave the apostles and had them write down in the scriptures. And in the New Testament, they did not use instrumental music at all. Many passages in the New Testament discuss music in the early church, but all of these passages refer to singing. Matthew 26:30, Mark 14:26, Acts 16:25, 1 Corinthians 14:4, 1 Corinthians 14:15, Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, Hebrews 2:12, James 5:13, they all talk about singing. Not once do we find a New Testament passage that discusses worship by Christians in the church, discuss playing an instrument such as a harp, a pipe, a drum, or any other stringed instrument in the worship of the church. Now, yes, you can find them in the Old Testament. David used them in Jewish worship in the temple, along with animal sacrifices, the burning of incense, a temple, and many other things that they had in the Old Testament that we don't use today. Why not? We're not Jews. We don't worship under the law of Moses. We worship under Christ as Christians. And so we don't use instruments. Why is this so significant? In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we read, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so if there is no word of God on the topic of the use of instrumental music in the church, it cannot be practiced by faith. Because faith comes by hearing God's word. We have no word from God on instrumental music. And so we can't do it by faith. We could do it by our opinion. We could do it by desire. We could do it because it sounds good. We could do it because I have a talent for it. But none of those things are by faith. They don't originate within God's word. Those are all reasons that men use to justify using instrumental music. But where is the faith? That's faith in people, faith in me, faith in you. But is it faith in God? If it is, show us the verse, show us the passage. If it's not, then leave it out. Leave it out of the worship. Now, in addition, Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says this, without faith, it is impossible to be pleasing to God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to be pleasing to God. And so that means that whatever is done outside of the word of God cannot be pleasing to God. And that includes the use of instrumental music. Therefore, we cannot, by faith, worship God with instrumental music, and we cannot be pleasing to God and use instrumental music in our worship because it is not of faith, and whatever is not of faith is not pleasing to God. Now, that is kind of a brief synopsis, and we could talk about many other things related to it, but I could probably stay here for another hour or so and have a further discussion, but I'm not going to do that. But if you do have any further questions that may have been generated by this discussion, please write them down, put them in the box. I will be more than happy to address those questions. And so two very interesting questions tonight that we've talked about, one from prophecy in the Old Testament, one about the history of the churches of Christ and the use of the instrument of music. And so just like we champion God's word in worship, we champion God's word in his plan of salvation as well. And the same argument can be made with faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so if we have no word of God, we can't do it by faith. And the word of God tells us that we must hear his word and believe it, repent of sins, confess Jesus as Christ, and be baptized for the remission of sins. And we can do that by faith because the word of God tells us that by faith. And if we're doing it by faith, then we know we're going to be pleasing to God because we can be pleasing to God by faith. The word of God. And so this evening, maybe someone wants to become a child of God by following God's plan of salvation so that he or she can then worship God according to God's plan of worship. We would love to help you do that this evening. And so if you'd like to do that, or if you'd like to know more and study more, let us know. And some may choose this time to come forward and do that, or you can just talk to us at any time. We'd be happy to help you. We're going to sing a song of invitation, and then you can think about that. Let's stand and sing.